You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Albers. Before we kick things off today, this is your friendly reminder to please sign in on your iTunes account, your Spotify account, and subscribe to our show. Leave us comments, rate and review us. It means a lot to us. It helps us in our ratings and our SEO and our search, and it lets us know that you approve of what we're doing. And we would love to get our message out to as many Stocktonians and followers as we can. So again, please take a little moment to like, subscribe, and share to us.
It shows you care.
Exactly.
It shows you care. Have a little heart and give us some love. That's all we ask.
Every time.
Yes. But I am excited about today's episode. You know, soccer is obviously the world's largest sport, right? And that's exciting. And, you know, Stockton's had like its fits and starts with professional soccer. We have a great youth soccer programs here in our city, but you know, when we had the Major Indoor Soccer League, MISL, the Stockton Cougars, when they were in town, actually they were based out of the office that we are currently in, which is, you know, before they actually got going, Regent Development and all of that. You know, the Stockton Cougars, everybody thought that soccer was going to be the number one sport that the arena was going to see. Because when we opened the arena, of course, we had Major Indoor Soccer and we had Major League Indoor Soccer. And then we had the Indoor AFC 2 football. And then we had the Heat. We never thought that the hockey would be the number one sport in Stockton for over a decade, you know, obviously after baseball, but in the arena. And, you know, the indoor soccer just fizzled out because people don't want to watch indoor soccer, I guess. So I'm excited because now we brought professional soccer back to Stockton. And also, I think it's just cool because it's not dudes. I think that's cool, too.
We love some lady soccer players. No, I think it's awesome, too. I'm not super hip on soccer. I am Croatian. So anytime Croatia is doing good in any of the professional big matches, me and my family like geek out over it. But other than that, I'm like very novice to the sport of soccer. So I'm very excited today about our guest, who is Lee Nevis. He is the owner of the Stockton Cargo. It's a women's soccer team in Stockton that plays in the USLW. And Lee, before we jump into the main portion of today's episode, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your Stockton story?
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you guys for having me on.
You are so welcome.
Stockton is, I consider it my hometown. I originally grew up in the little abode of Hillmar, California, roughly an hour south of here.
Yeah. Cheese.
Land of cheese, 100%. But I did my undergrad here at UOP, all 4 years, graduated with my bachelor's in 1997. Went to McGeorge afterwards and got my law degree up there at McGeorge in 2000, which seems so long ago right now. It just does. And, you know, I just always have been drawn back to Stockton. And it is really the town where I made my bones. I mean, I went from being an adolescent into a young man here in Stockton. And I have such great fond memories of my college experience. You know, I was an undergrad here when we went to the NCAA tournament back in the late 90s.
Awesome.
We had Ola Candy, Jacobson, Corey Anders, all those guys, just fantastic teams under Bob Thomason. Went to all the games and whatnot. Just a great, you know, just great memories. And, you know, Stockton is the town that kind of made me professionally. You know, my day job is I am a political consultant. I'm my own political consulting firm. That's what pays for the soccer. You know, my list of clients that really put me on the map are centered here in Stockton. Anywhere from, I originally ran Jamie Muslimus, who used to be our superintendent of schools, Carlos Villaputua, our current state assembly member. I did his campaign in 2020, was his chief of staff. We'll get into that. Ron Freitas, our current district attorney. So, you know, it just really is a city that too often, and as far as I'm concerned. I've lived plenty of other places in my life. It's the best place to live, period. It established me professionally, but it is also a town full of just fantastic, amazing people, as I have seen this past year with the soccer team. They've really come out to support our team. And it's, you know, it's just, I love this place, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's awesome. Well, why don't we just jump right in and talk about why create this team? Why? Because you had to apply for an expansion, yeah. I think. And yeah, then yeah. Why Stockton? And what is it like to just start from the ground up and build a team? And I know it was a multi-year process. Yeah. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
It's quite ironic that we're talking about it right now, because exactly 2 years ago, and I hope to kind of shorten the story, but 2 years ago, I was kind of on top of the world. I mean, literally 2 years to this day, I was married to a pretty high ranking exec at Facebook. I literally probably teeing off at Spanish Bay right now. I had spent 4th of July weekend golfing, doing Spyglass, Spanish Bay, Pebble Beach. I mean, I was the chief of staff for the assembly member. I literally was living my best life. And later on in this exact month, I started to become ill, and at that point had to go spend a month in Stanford Medical Center, where they gave me the diagnosis of catastrophic liver failure. Mm. And they basically told me I needed a new liver or I would die. There actually were doctors at Stanford who didn't think I would make it out of the year. I was that bad. And when you're kind of staring death in the face, you literally aren't on death's doorstep, you kind of start to reevaluate things, and you're like, what do you want to be remembered for? And at that time, I would be remembered at being good at politics, which, you know, kind of entails you being a jerk every other year. It's not kind of how you want to be remembered. You want to leave a legacy behind that people smile when they remember. And I always think back, and my favorite candidates had always been female candidates. I mean, they worked the hardest. I mean, I loved working with female candidates. And so you're thinking, what can you do to leave a positive legacy behind? Because life was not guaranteed for me, period. I talked to my then wife about it, and she probably thought it was a pipe dream. But at the time, USLW had United Soccer League has various levels. And I'm sure some of you guys may have heard of Sac Republic up in Sacramento, Oakland Roots over in Oakland. That's USL Championship. That is multi-million dollar, you know, totally big show soccer. And so USL organization came out and said, we're going to start a women's league. USLW is going to start in 2022. And I saw this, and I'd always been, I am Portuguese. My parents came from the old country. I was born with a soccer ball in my crib. So I always loved the world's beautiful game. And I thought, wouldn't it be awesome to bring a team like that here to Stockton that is composed mostly of local women? You know, women who are either from Stockton, came from Stockton. And for many years, I'd been a major donor to UOP Athletics, and I was on the PAF, Pacific Athletic Foundation, board for a few years. So I was especially fond of the soccer program there. So I knew a lot of people, and one was a former assistant coach who's now the technical director for the Oakland Roots in USL Championship, Jordan Farrell. And I said, Jordan, hey, I have this crazy idea. Now, mind you, at this time, no one knows that I currently am in the process of dying. Nobody. I mean, the assembly member knew, and my wife and my family, and that was it. So he's like, oh yeah, Lee, great idea. You should totally do it. And I talked to some other people, and they're like, yeah. So I kept on bugging the USL until they finally answered my phone call. And I'm like, hey guys, I have this crazy idea. And at the time their teams were Southeast, Northeast, East Coast, Midwest. That was the extent of their reach. They obviously were looking to leap out to California and to the West Coast. But I remember having these phone calls set up with them. And when your liver is no longer functioning, there's this thing called ammonia brain, where because the liver processes the ammonia out of your body. And if it's not functioning, it goes straight to your head. And when I would wake up with ammonia brain, literally what I was thinking and what came out of my mouth were two different things. You could not make sense of what I was saying. I would think the bathroom was in the closet. You just name it. And I would remember if I had a phone call with the USL that morning, I would not sleep the night before, because ammonia brain happens when you go to sleep and you wake up. And so I was petrified of having like a 10 a.m. phone call with these guys and saying, hey, I can't make it. Sorry, I'm in the emergency room at Stanford because my brain is full of ammonia. And I finally came clean. And I'm like, okay, look, guys. And I put a business plan. Here was my idea of what I wanted to do. And I wanted to create a platform for young women in Stockton, not only for them to excel, but, you know, they have the saying, if you can see her, you can be her. And so having a team, a women's pre-professional, they call it pre-professional because most of the players are in high school or college. So they retain everything else around it is as professional as can be. Coaches obviously are paid, jersey sponsors, you name it. The rules surrounding, you know, limited substitutions, all that fun stuff. But the players retain their college eligibility. So they call it pre-professional. But, you know, they loved the idea of, here we have this very blue collar city that everyone always overlooks. And there's a team here for the express purpose of elevating the women in the city and giving the younger generation of women someone to look up to. And they loved everything. They loved the business plan. They loved all that. And then I finally came clean. I'm like, okay, so guys, I'm kind of dying. I told them I was, you know, waiting for a liver transplant. And they're like, okay, as soon as you get that liver transplant, you let us know. And if you're okay, we'll grant you the first expansion team in California.
And no pressure, I guess.
No pressure.
Hey, Doc, just so you know.
So I actually had to go get my transplant in Florida. California would have taken me 3 years. And I wouldn't have made it. I mean, my liver doctor at Stanford was just straight up, dude, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make 3 years. So, you know, she had said Florida or Tennessee. And my, at the time, wife, now ex-wife, God bless her heart, did a spreadsheet of every liver transplant center in the United States of America. And did, there's 167 of them. And did a matrix. You know, it was average wait time, average wait list, survivability on the table, 1 year out, 5 years out, 10 years out.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. And University of Florida came out on top. So I went out there for testing the first part, the first week of January 2022. And they're like, we accept you. We'll take you in. They said, go back and get your affairs in order back in California. And it's funny because, so I went back and I told my wife at the time, like, look, if I go out, I'm going out on top. So I basically willed myself into going into the office. I was still the chief for the assembly member at the time. Went into the office for 4 weeks and that pretty much almost killed me. Until the assembly member finally said, dude, hey, no, you're going on medical leave. I want you alive. I need you alive more than dead. And God bless that man's heart. He stood by me every step of the way. He had every reason to get rid of me early on when I was sick, and he did not. But so I got my affairs in order. We went back late February 23rd of 2022, and on the 10 o'clock in the evening, the day before St. Patrick's Day, I got a phone call saying, hey, get down here by 4 a.m. We have a liver for you.
God, that's so crazy.
Took 3 weeks in Florida. So I went down and I was wearing my Leeds United soccer jersey. And, you know, remember, you know, doing a video, putting it up on Twitter saying, hey, guys, just please win on Friday. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there or not. And 12 hours of surgery later, I woke up 2 days later because they put you in an induced coma for 2 days after, so your body can heal. And I remember I remember waking up and the TV was on and you can see what everyone's talking about. And I couldn't speak at the time. Your voice is toast. And so I remember having to write down on a paper, and my wife was there, and I asked her, did Leeds United win? Why is everyone talking about St. Peter's? Because it was during the NCAA basketball tournament. And apparently, while I was in surgery and in a coma, St. Peter's had beaten Kentucky and then Murray State and was now in the Sweet 16. So all everyone at ESPN was talking about was St. Peter's. And I was like, why is everyone talking about St. Peter's?
No one cares about them.
So one of the first things I did when I woke up and they gave me my cell phone back, which I'm pretty sure they regretted having given me, was I emailed League and said, I'm alive. Give me my team. So we were announced April 15th of 2022. And here we are today, just concluded our season yesterday, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
So do you do everything? I mean, you're the general, you're the general manager, you own the team, right?
I own the team, but I am smart enough to know what I know and know what I don't. So I do have a general manager, Adrian Sorensen, who is currently the women's head soccer coach at San Joaquin Delta. And she is absolutely amazing. She's, if not for her, I would be absolutely lost. Not sure I even would have been able to kick off the season. She's the one who went out, scouted the players, got the players. She has so many connections locally that, you know, she was able to put together a fantastic team, put together the coaching staff. And she has just been an absolute godsend.
So when you talk about this focus on local, you had tryouts, as I remember. Yep. You had tryouts. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have some really great players. Are there some from out of town, or are most of them in town? Or
they're all work? I want to say the farthest away someone might be is maybe 20 miles to the west from Brentwood, Discovery Bay area. Yeah. I think that's the farthest away. Other than that, we have, you know, Alexis Brewer, who was a local legend at Bear Creek, currently plays for CSU Stanislaus. She's going to go pro. I mean, she,
amazing.
You know, was part of the entire, and this is a league with 65 teams in it. She was one of the 11 players named the team of the month for the league for the month of May. Just amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, our goalkeepers are all locally. We started the team with Madison Covey Taylor, who went to Lodi High, currently plays for Grambling, but still, you know, calls Lodi home. Just, you know, one of our midfielders, Tiana Cello, two midfielders from Manteca, Tiana Cello, and Cameron Silva, who just wrapped up at Manteca High. She actually will be playing soccer for the University of Alabama this fall. So as a fervent Florida Gator fan, for obvious reasons, yeah. Hurt my heart a little bit to have someone from the University of Alabama on my team, but I did it because she's great. You know, we had two of our forwards play locally here at UOP, Lauren Froman and Anaya Shelton. So it really is a team of players with all local ties, either playing in Stockton or having originate from Stockton and the surrounding area.
That's cool.
That's super cool. And I mean, speaking of Stockton, I'm sure you'll have a good answer for this, but can you tell us a little bit about the thought and the storytelling elements behind creating the club's crest?
Yes, I can. So I am, being in politics for a profession, I'm absolutely shameless whatsoever. So the original name was going to be Sporting Club of Stockton, because both me and my father's favorite Portuguese team is Sporting Club of Lisbon. And the crest was a straight ripoff of the Sporting Lisbon's crest, except we took out the dragon and put in a pair of grapes. When we were getting ready to announce our expansion team last April, the league attorney got back to me and it's like, you know, Lee, we might have some copyright problems here. Like,
no, the colors were the same, were they?
Colors were exact same. Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. Like I said, absolutely shameless here. So we went back to the drawing board. And they got me together with the top copyright attorney for all things soccer related in the United States. and also with, and so we were talking and I'm thinking, you know, we should do something with the Port of Stockton. And so, you know, my thought was Stockton Fleet because we got the port.
Sure.
And then I want to say it was the copyright attorney who was like, it's a port, like, is it a port for cruise ships or is it a port for, and I'm like, no, it's a port for all things industrial. And she's like, Stockton Cargo. I was like, that sounds great. I love that. Absolutely love that. And so then the league got me together with a designer who is from England. He actually does a lot of crest redesigns for teams in the English Premier League and English Championship. So he's big time in England. And he's like, you know, I always wanted to mess around in America. So why not? So I like got the total cut rate, like total, you know, you're a startup. I just want to do something in America. And I basically told him, hey, I went through the whole story. Here's kind of my inspiration and here's the inspiration for the name, but here's what it was going to be. So he was still able to take the colors, some of the colors of Sporting Lisbon. And if you go on our website and you see, it'll have about, and there'll be a section explaining the colors of the crest. And under green, it says, you know, basically represents the Portuguese heritage of our area because there are a lot of us Portuguese folk here in the valley. And so he created the crest and I was like, that's really good. It is like really, really good. It's funny in soccer in America, especially lower level soccer. And if you were to talk USLW in minor league baseball terms, you're probably talking about single A would be my guess. The inaugural year, they had 14, 16 players go directly from playing in the USLW to playing in Europe. One player for Ann Arbor FC actually signed with Manchester United, their women's team. So you're looking at, you know, single A, maybe double A, as far as in terms of quality. But this one, like, online soccer podcast / website, whatever, had an actual battle of the crests. And our crest actually made it pretty far. We ended up losing to the eventual champion. And we're talking about hundreds of local team soccer crests throughout the United States. And it was a little gratifying to see how far we made I was like, that's a good $600 I spent there.
That's a great $600. Yeah, $600. As in the marketing field, we know.
That's where the crest came from and the idea for the name and the crest. And it's really caught on and people have really, honestly, I think it's caught on more than I thought it was going to catch on. You know, before our first game versus Oakland, I was, you know, hoping like 100 people showed up and we actually sold out, you know.
Amazing.
Standing room only was filled. The bleachers at Delta where we played, Sound King Delta College, those were filled. It was just, we had over 500 people there and it was amazing. And we've had great crowds throughout the entire year. Even yesterday, because yesterday's game was supposed to happen on Saturday at 1 p.m., which just was not going to happen. I mean, it was unbelievably hot and player safety comes first. You know, before the team making a buck or anything, I'm going to put the safety of the players first and foremost. Sure. And yeah. I just was straight up, we cannot play at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So we talked with the league, talked with Cal Storm. And so we agreed to move it to Sunday at 10 because that was just a little more bearable. I would like to repeat a little.
Yeah.
And we still had a pretty decent crowd for people coming out on a Sunday when it was super duper hot. I mean, by halftime, most people moved off the bleachers and were standing alongside.
Found some shade, yeah.
Because it was way too hot. But, you know, just the community support that we have had has just been absolutely amazing.
So speaking of that community support, what has been some of the impacts of this past season that you really are excited about?
You know, it's just seeing not only how the community has accepted us, but what we've been able to do for the community. You know, there were two really big nights that I'm, you know, was really super proud of. One was our second to last home game back on the 24th. It was youth soccer night. We printed up posters. We printed up a team poster. And if you were a youth soccer player and you wore your jersey, you got in for free. And but the most great, it was gratifying to see how many young girls were there with their mom or their dad or their families. And then we did a poster signing for the entire team after, and just to see the line of young girls with
That's
their
awesome.
Posters
so cool.
waiting to get their poster signed, and to see them take pictures with their favorite player. And you would see the parents tag the team on Instagram and say, you know, my daughter got to take a picture with her favorite player. That to me, that to me is like fulfilling the mission of what we're here to do. I mean, here are a bunch of young girls who are looking for role models, and we're giving them a role model that is local. It's not like, oh, I'm, you know, looking at, you know, Sophia Smith who plays for Portland, or, you know, Alex Morgan who plays for San Diego, so far away. It's someone they can actually touch. Someone yeah. they can
It's attainable
with.
In your hometown.
It's attainable in
Very
your hometown.
Cool.
The other one I'm super that I, you know, really loved forming a partnership with. So we had our Pride match on June 3rd. And I don't want to delve too much into politics because I got to do that for a day job. But to see, you know, the whole controversy with the Pride flag, yeah. both with the county. And
we've talked about it on this podcast.
And with the city. And, you know, to where we just, with open arms, said, with the Pride Center, we said, hey, here's what we want to do. And a dollar from every ticket sold is going to go to you guys. It's going to go back to the Pride Center, and giving them a platform at halftime to talk about what the Pride Center is and what they're doing. You know, seeing so many people, you know, kind of embracing them there at the game, you know, flying the Pride flag on our flagpole right underneath the American flag during the game, you know, making them feel wanted and accepted, and knowing that they are an integral part of our community. They are taxpayers just like you and me, and mm-hmm. and they have hopes and dreams and families, and you know, to instead of just saying, hey, you know, you guys are part of our community and we're going to welcome you with open arms. And to the Pride Center's credit, when I originally went to them and said, hey, I want to partner with you guys, they're like,
are
okay,
sure?
But we got some questions for you, because we don't want this just to be a, oh, hey, team wants to have a Pride night to right. you know, try to make it. They're like, and Michael Wayne Smith, their head there, he had three very pointed questions. And thankfully, I answered them to his satisfaction. And they said, yeah, we want to be a partner with you. So that also was another gratifying. It was a very gratifying day to be able to just with open arms say, you know, I don't care what anyone else in this community thinks, we're going to welcome you with open arms.
That's we cool. love to see it. We love an organization that cares about giving back to the community that's supporting them. So we appreciate it. And then kind of with that said, what are some future plans for next season in terms of like promotional events and or any special in-arena experiences?
Yeah,
anything,
absolutely.
Anything
so-
to share?
So there is no, as they say, there is no off season.
Yeah, fair.
We do have the Women's World Cup coming up. And so the first two U.S. matches for the U.S. national team will be happening at 4:00 Pacific time, thankfully, because it's over in Australia and New Zealand. So we actually will be hosting World Cup watch parties for those two.
And when is that?
I know the first game is going to be July 21st. So
excellent. So in podcast land, this is tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
July
yes.
21st.
Tomorrow,
yes.
4:00. Michael's New York Pizza. Pizza's on me. Pizza and non-alcoholic drinks are on me. And then the game right after that, the next U.S. Women's National Team game in the World Cup right after that, we'll be doing a watch party also. Unfortunately, the third game, which is versus my homeland, Portugal, happens at 10:00 in the evening, West Coast time.
That sounds like a perfect opportunity for a beer watching party.
If anything were open at 10 yeah. o'clock, that would be. But, you know, so we will be hosting, having World Cup watch parties. We will be staying involved in the community throughout the year. It's not just, okay, season's over, close up. No one's going to hear from us again until next May. But, you know, I really would like to see this thing grow. You know, one thing I really kind of prided myself on with this team is if you look at any other, you know, Wes, you mentioned we had open tryouts. If you look at any other team having open tryouts in our league, it's always, you know, $25 per person, $50 per person.
Is that open?
Thank you.
Because there could be a cost prohibitive, you know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. And especially in a town like Stockton. And part of the reason I did this was there's a lot of talent here that doesn't get to shine because especially youth soccer, it's pay to play. I mean, if you want to move up the youth soccer ranks, you got to pay for uniform. You got to pay for this. You got to pay for that. And it becomes very cost prohibitive as to where you have families that are like, hey, we just, you know, we're trying to keep a roof over our head and food on the table. So our open tryouts were absolutely free. Literally, it was sign the waiver. If you got what it takes, then sweet, you're on board. So really, you know, I would love to see this grow. You know, this year was proof of concept, and I think we proved the concept. Next year is taking it another step, bringing on more sponsors, being more involved out there in the community, you know, kind of tweaking what went well this year and learning from mistakes of this year and opportunities that were missed and bypassed. You know, we did have a youth camp. May 30th, we partnered with Delta Women's Soccer and El Concilio to have a youth camp, and we would like to do more of those. And that youth camp was, once again, absolutely free to the public. So, you know, doing more things like that to where if this thing grows enough, then yes, we do open it up to have a youth component, have youth teams. Because, you know, the one thing, you know, we ended up our season 7-5, winning record, top half of our division. Our division is the toughest division in the league, bar none. If you take our team and put in any other division in this league, we're probably division champs and we're going to the playoffs. You know, we have Cal Storm, which is a legacy team. They've been around since 1995. They won the national championship for this other league, WPSL, last year. You have San Francisco Glens, who have 5 U.S. youth national team players and one player who's actually going to be playing for the Australian national team in the World Cup this year. You have Oakland Soul, which is the sister club of the Oakland Roots. They have a multi-million-dollar corporation behind them. Pleasanton, Academica, Marin, Olympic Club, the Olympic Club in San Francisco. I mean, they've got more money than God, for all I know. You have all these, you know, like I said, Pleasanton, Academica, Marin, they all have these large youth organizations that they've had around for decades. And we were a startup, no youth organization, no nothing. We were your just scrappy, getting by startup. And the fact that we still finished 7-5, that we still, in the games we did lose, they were all ultra competitive, and I dare say we were probably maybe a combined 12 inches away from making playoffs. There was a goal we barely missed when we played Cal Storm, and another one we barely missed when we played Oakland Soul in our home opener. If those two losses turned to ties, we're probably in the playoffs, would be my guess. So to really just kind of see this thing grow from where it is here, I think those are the future plans, you know, kind of really make it a better experience. You know, obviously we're going to have another Pride night next year. We're going to have another youth soccer night, but, you know, to kind of mix in, you know, and obviously some me and my general manager. And if anyone out there has ideas, by all means, I'm open to any and all ideas for whatever theme night you guys want. A Visit Stockton theme night. But really, you know, next year seeing this grow, and then after that, becoming more successful and really becoming a true partner in our community. Those are my goals, because that's why I created this team in the first place. I want this to be an integral part, not only of the Stockton soccer culture, which I think it has become, but an integral part of Stockton, period. And yeah. At the end of the day, I would love to have a parade down Pacific Avenue with the league championship trophy. I mean, that's kind of the ultimate goal here at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we talked about your favorite promotion nights of the season, but did you have a favorite game of the season this year?
Oh, yes.
And why?
100%. Say my favorite game would probably be both versus Academica. And so Academica Soccer Club is based out of Turlock. And I say those two are my favorites because it was founded by a very small Portuguese church back in 1972. That's when this soccer club was founded.
Wow.
It's a Portuguese church in Turlock that I went to up until 18 years of age.
Oh.
That my entire family still goes to. Just my entire family. Every Sunday, 9:30, they will be there front pew before Father Manuel. And so I know the guys who run it. From the soccer field is on the church grounds there. So I talked with them and like, hey guys, let's, you know, it's a rivalry game. What, you know? And so I came up with the term, because whenever the Earthquakes, San Jose Earthquakes play LA Galaxy, it's the California Clásico. Whenever Barcelona plays Real Madrid, it's just the Clásico. Funny, whenever the LA Galaxy play LAFC in Major League Soccer, they call it Traffico. Get it? LA Traffic.
that's funny.
I like that, yeah.
For those of us who drive 99 often, I often thought we could also take Traffico for the name of our but we called it the 209 Clásico. I even went out and bought a trophy. You know, winner gets the trophy. I felt confident paying for it because I knew we were going to win it. but both those games, we won up here, I want to say 5-2, our first game. And then we won down there this past Wednesday, our second last game of the season, we won 4-1. Both of those were my favorite just because it was kind of, you know, going home, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Had
something a little personal to
had
it.
Something a little personal. But aside from that, I would say our home opener, our very first game of the season, May 6th versus the Oakland Soul. Here came this juggernaut. I mean, Oakland Soul made the playoffs. And, making the playoffs in the USL is not like making the playoffs in the NBA where, you know, like 60% of the teams in the NBA make the playoffs.
Yeah,
65
right.
teams, 16 teams nationally make the playoffs.
Wow.
And I honestly thought, and, you know, Oakland came in with two players who had experience on the Mexican national team, one player who played for the Japanese national team. I thought Oakland was going to come in and just thought they were going to steamroll us. And we lost 3-2, put on a tremendous show before a capacity crowd, and kind of said, hey guys, we're here to compete. And I think the rest of, especially the teams in our division, kind of had to take notice from that we weren't just going to roll over. And I can guarantee you every team in our division probably thought, oh, Stockton, this is going to be cakewalk. They have no infrastructure. They have no background, no history, no nothing. And it's a testament. It's really a testament to our GM, to our coaches, to the players that they were really able to come together in a very short period of time. And I think one thing we did really well throughout the season was foster this feeling of that we were a family. And that's really what I wanted to have the team do. I mean, that was my hope, my intention, and I'm glad we achieved it. It's that it was everyone had everyone's back. There were no me first type players. And don't get me wrong, especially in a league like this, there can be a great tendency to have me first players because you got players thinking all eyes are on me. Mm-hmm. I need to ball out. I need to show out so I can get that pro contract. And the fact that we had a team where everyone had each other's back.
Rising tides raise all cargo ships.
Rising tide raise all boats. That first game really to me was special. It showed we could compete. It showed we belonged. And it also showed that Stockton will show up if you give them a team that they can be proud of and really get behind. And I really hearken it back to, like I said, when I was going to school here at UOP and we had those great Bob Thomason teams, Spano Center was packed. I mean, it was absolutely packed, and they were packed with Pacific fans. They mm-hmm. weren't here for the other teams. I mean, these days, you know, the only time you get big crowds there is when Gonzaga and BYU come to town, and they're all Gonzaga or BYU fans.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, it was all Stockton fans, and it was just a tremendous feeling to be in a building with 6,500 people, and everyone was just going off, and the amount of energy that they gave those teams and the pride that we all felt when Pacific would go and beat Providence, they would go and beat Pitt, they would take Boston College to the max, all these national name brand teams, and we were taking it to them. It gave us an immense amount of pride in this town and this city, and that's at the end of the day what I really hope our team does. You know, I said our ultimate goal is to have a championship, not just for the sake of having a championship, but to show the rest of this country that, hey, Stockton is here, Stockton isn't going anywhere, and Stockton can get stuff done. And it's a great city, not just what you read in Forbes or what you see on the headlines.
You're speaking our language, Lee. That's me. Wes and I talked about this so many times about, like, how do we get that momentum back, like, to the sports in this community? And, you know,
yeah,
Wes was telling me back in the day too, it was like you wore your black and orange on Fridays mm-hmm. and all that jazz. So
yeah, it was a thing. I mean, it was, I loved being on ESPN and you know, being in the top 25 and having the national people talk about us. It was great.
It's good positive press for this community, which needs it too. So
super, super positive press. Mm-hmm. And you know, to have Alexis Brewa from our team make the team of the month for the USLW in May, to have Gianna Hall from our team get called up for a couple of friendlies for the Panama national team. Those are big things. And, yep. and those are things that our city, our community can say, hey, we have people who on a national and international stage belong, and they're from here. I think it's great for anyone who calls themselves a Stocktonian.
We love it. So Lee, what is your hopes for the future of women's soccer in Stockton and in the United States in general?
You know, in Stockton, like I said, I just want to see this thing grow. Yep. You know, I want to be able to go out there and say, we're in a facility that can have 5,000 fans and the place gets sold out and everyone is into it. You know, like I was mentioned earlier, I had to be in Florida for my liver transplant. And when you're in Gainesville, Florida sports is just at the center of everything. It is all orange and blue. It is all go Gators. I had the good fortune of not only being at these games, but actually being able to be on the field because my liver transplant doctor is also a season ticket holder. with sideline pass. And so I was, when Utah came into the Swamp, first game of last year to play University of Florida, and LSU versus Florida primetime on ESPN. And when you're on the field and you see just the electricity in that field, they're not all there because those people are all football fans. It's a community event. It is, look, Gainesville, Florida is not why people go to Florida. You know, they go to Tampa, they go to Miami, they go to Florida Keys, they go to Disney World in Orlando. No one says, I want to go to Florida, go to Gainesville. But they take pride in the fact that if you come into the Swamp, better bring a sack lunch. It's going to be an all-day affair. There's a reason you have 100,000 people show up at the spring football game at the University of Alabama. Because, look, all those people are not Alabama graduates, but that team represents them. It represents their state. For as much as the butt of jokes Alabama is, they know their football team is going to go out and whoop yours. And so, at least for women's soccer in Stockton, I want to see our team be that for our community. I want to see our community show up in mass numbers and know that if you're coming to play in the cargo hold, bring a sack lunch, it's going to be an all-day affair. To know that we can go out nationally or regionally and compete with the San Franciscos, the Oaklands, the Cal Storms, and to know that they leave our games lucky to win. To really see it kind of grow and prosper and be a pipeline of where you have little girls on your U8, U9, U10 teams saying, I one day want to wear that jersey. I one day want to have the honor, the privilege of donning the blue and the green and going out and repping my city nationally, internationally, you name it. And really kind of see an explosion of that for, look, women's soccer is a fantastic game. It is a great game. You sit down, you watch it. It is wonderful. These women go 90 minutes and just their motors are unbelievable. And the passion, and especially the passion they have for it, because, you know, let's face it, women's soccer, you're not doing the, you know, Lionel Messi contracts. You're doing this because you love it. And to really see that kind of grow, because A, it's a very underserved market, and it's a really great product. I mean, it's, you know, in the USL environment, next year starts the USL Super League. Their commissioner, Amanda Vandervoort, who's also the president of the USLW League, she is amazing. She has been super supportive of what we've been doing here. And she's just been a champion for women's soccer since, you know, the day she was born. And, you know, with USL Super League, it creates a pipeline as to where you play USLW, then, and you do really well, then a USL Super League team, there's going to be one in Oakland, can pick you up. I mean, there is that professional pipeline that we're talking about, you know, from being in that U10 team to, you know, going, being really good in high school and your club team to playing for USLW to then doing this professionally and earning a living. And the one really cool thing about USL Super League is that in the United States, we're used to soccer being like March to October. You know, a mostly summer spring schedule. You also Super League follows the international schedule. So it'll start August of 2024. It'll wrap up May of 2025, their inaugural season, which gets it more in line with what everyone does internationally. So it's, you know, the future of women's soccer in the United States is really, looks really bright. And I'm just very happy to be a very small part of it.
I think that's awesome. And I would agree too. I think it's just the beginning. I mean, obviously we had, you know, Team USA, God, what's that been, a decade or more, that was just like at the pinnacle. And,
yep,
and it was so exciting for women's soccer, but it's good to see it here in Stockton and to know that the future is bright. So we get people excited about women's soccer. Why don't you tell our listeners when next season starts and where they can get all the Stockton Cargo info they can possibly handle?
You can get all things Stockton Cargo from www.stocktonsc.com. In there, you will see any and all updates we have during the off season. Merchandise store is there. When our schedule, which will probably be finalized next January, February would be my guess. Maybe December. But the new schedule will pop up there. Your ability to buy tickets will be on there. All that fun stuff. We also are on Instagram. So just type in Stockton Cargo SC. We pop up on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So you could follow us on there too. But yeah, that's for anyone and everyone who's interested in all things Stockton Cargo SC. That's where you can find out.
Okay, wait. When does the season start?
Oh, sorry. Season will start first weekend of May.
All right.
And then it runs through the first weekend of July. And then after that, our playoffs run roughly 2 weeks.
Cool. And we will be sure, of course, on Visit Stockton to be posting updates and important dates. And, you know, we'll probably even post. I'm assuming you do tryouts every year. Is that how it rolls?
We awesome. Will be doing tryouts every year. Yes.
How exciting. Something to look forward to. Okay, Lee, and this is the last question, and it's probably my favorite question. So where's your favorite place to take someone who is visiting you in Stockton from out of town? And your answer cannot be a Stockton Cargo game.
A Stockton Cargo game. No. if they're visiting from out of town, oh man, so many good. Okay. Probably tied for the best coffee of all time. Tied. There's a tie.
Drum roll.
Cup of Joe coffee. In the hair salon on the Miracle Mile.
That is really good coffee.
Yo. It is right up there with, during my time in Gainesville, I became a big fan of this, Opus Coffee in Gainesville. Their main coffee shop in Gainesville is a converted Airstream trailer. And I used to always threaten to hook that trailer up to my car and drive it all the way out here. But I discovered Cup of Joe. And believe it or not, it was the assembly member who apparently likes their coffee. And he's like, hey, let's go get some coffee here. And I'm like, I'm not going in a hair salon to get some coffee. You crazy? He's like, trust me. So we go in there and I'm like, this is life-changing. This is absolutely life-changing. Their iced latte just...
Oh, see, now I gotta go try this. Oh, it's on the Miracle Mile for those listeners who don't know.
Yes, it's on the Miracle Mile. It's, I don't know what the Toca Vino hair, Toca something hair salon.
Yeah, it's near the post office.
It's right next to the post office.
Toca Divino?
Toca Divino, yes, Toca Divino. But yeah, Cup of Joe, coffee wise, is absolutely amazing. If I'm taking someone to eat, you can't go wrong with Market Tavern. I have loved that place since it first opened. Back in my days when I used to have adult beverages, there was a kind of, you know, off the menu drink called the Lee Luge. So they sell baked bone marrow and it's cut in half. So what you do is you have the bone marrow and then it's like a hollowed out, like half tube. And so I would take the bone marrow, order a shot of bourbon, put the bone right in my mouth.
Get out of here.
Yes. And then have, and then
the Lee Luge. That's Lee Luge, crazy.
And then either have one of the bartenders or friend or yourself pour the bourbon down the bone marrow into your mouth. It was amazing.
That's a vibe is what that,
that
is.
That is a vibe. That is a vibe I no longer get to indulge in, but...
You can slam some bone marrow still, I guess.
I am all over the bone marrow. And being Portuguese, I've been all over the bone marrow since the day I was born.
Oh, yeah. That was a big Croatian thing for us, too. We eat everything, so there you go.
Oh, yes.
God, delicious. That was a great answer. Lee, this was obviously one of the most inspiring, if not the craziest, origination stories I've heard about any small business in this city ever. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Obviously, we are super grateful to have you here, and we're glad everything went well in Gainesville and that you were able to make this Stockton Cargo dream come true. We love a powerful man supporting women and supporting young women, especially being inspiring to the young girls in this community and giving them something to look forward to and kind of showing a progression of what you can be, even if you are not, you know, like you said, this is not always easy for people of all socioeconomic backgrounds to be able to get into, but you at Stockton Cargo are making a concerted effort to make things easier for them. So that's very cool. And we love what you're doing for the community. And our hope too is that everyone in this town is out there. And I was just looking at the merch, getting your Stockton Cargo merch and turning out for those games come May, or doing some of the fun off-season stuff. And just thank you for giving us something to be excited about in the community, because it's very fun.
I have to say, in closing, I would not be here like in physical form if it were not for my ex-wife. Obviously, things didn't work out, but she for 8 months basically became my caregiver, and that's a hard thing to do.
It is a not fun to take your health into your own hands like that too. And you're great. That just even what you said about her and all the work she put into making sure you got to the right spot. That is not everyone has that, and that is very special.
And I will always be grateful for the work she put in and to make sure that I was here.
We love to hear it.
Cheers to you, and I'll have a Lige Luge on your behalf.
100%. I appreciate that.
We love it.
Thank you, guys.
And now we are going to head to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Hey there, everyone. I actually just wanted to bring up a few women athletes from the Stockton area to go along with our main topic of this show. So first off, we got Kathy Ferguson. She was a two-time Olympic gold medalist swimmer. She won her medals in the 1964 Olympic Games in Tokyo in the 100-meter backstroke and the 4x100-meter medley relay. And then we also got Jackie Gemelos. She played in the WNBA for the Minnesota Lynx, Chicago Sky, Las Vegas Aces, and Connecticut Sun. And she is currently an assistant coach for the New York Liberty. And she did go to St. Mary's High School. Amy.
I know. I went to school with her.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. And then we got Dolores Wilson from way back in the 40s. She played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League as an outfielder and is featured in the Women in Baseball display at the Baseball Hall of Fame Museum.
Kick ass.
And lastly, someone Lee will know, Gianna Hall plays for the Stockton Cargo, and she was recently called up to play for the women's national team in Panama because her parents have dual citizenship. She has dual citizenship through her parents. So there you go. Gianna Hall from the Stockton Cargo will be playing for the Panama women's national team.
Awesome. Thank you, Anthony.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much again to Lee for being a part of our podcast today and for talking with us all about the Stockton Cargo and for giving us a bit of the background of his personal story. You know, something that's really important to us here on the This is Stockton podcast is not only sharing about the small businesses and organizations in this community, but also getting to know the people behind them as well. So thanks again. And for supporting Images and Insights, be sure to follow at This is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will talk next time.
Thanks for listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton and produced by Relic.